Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Trent. I'm here with my good friend Alan, and we're experimenting this morning as we record new stuff, right? We want to encourage you to always be open to doing ministry, maybe in new things. We always keep the message the same, right, Alan? But the ministry, the way we do things sometimes changes, and so we're excited about that.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of things going on. One, we are actually recording our video selves doing this, which might scare anyone who listens to us away really quickly. But we're breaking our tradition that we've built over the last year and a half, and trying to also make some occasional video options available, as well as the audio option for our podcast. So this is new territory for us. And so I think it's appropriate to talk about traditions today. What do you think?
I agree, Alan. I think this is a great topic that kind of goes with what we're doing today. And we're in the holiday season, right? And so there's a lot of traditions that people are having at their churches, at their homes. And so we're going to talk about how do we deal with traditions? Are they good? Are they bad? How do we change them if we need to? So, Alan, start us off. How do we talk about traditions?
Well, you know, traditions are important to all of us. My daughter, who lives far away from me, called me and was just talking about how she was asked what her favorite Christmas tradition is. And her favorite Christmas tradition is hearing her dad read the Christmas story. And so that, you know, how can you argue with a tradition like that, right? I mean, that means something to her, and I'm certainly honored with that. But I've also been a part of a lot of traditions that maybe weren't the best traditions in the world. And you know, you and I both grew up when we went to church, being in Baptist churches. And when I was growing up, I don't remember Christmas Eve services. That really kind of became a tradition in Baptist life a lot later. And so that's kind of a newer tradition, I think, in many of our churches. And yet, I don't think that's one we would break from anytime soon.
Yeah, and our church, we don't do a Christmas Eve service. We tried a couple of times. We just didn't have that much participation. And so, but yeah, I know some do, and it's wonderful, and people get a lot out of it. And so all those things, each church is different in the things that we deal with, and all of them are okay. You just got to evaluate them.
Right. I mean, we certainly been through the tradition run of the program from time to time. You know, I remember at one point in time, there was this tradition with Valentine's banquets. Do you remember hosting those every year? And maybe you still do it, but it was a fundraiser for our student ministry, and it was a big tradition, and it was a big deal every year. And we looked around one day, and no one seemed very interested. And by the time we bought all the food and got all the donations, mm-hmm. realized we were making like $100. And it just was a tradition that needed to break. And I'll never forget how upset some people were that we did not host their one date night a year that they had. So, you know, it can be hard.
Right. We do the last couple of years we've done a Valentine thing for our senior adults instead. And that's been a great thing. And so sometimes, you know, you may have a tradition that you may want to shift to a different, different audience or whatever. And so, yeah, there's all kinds of things like that. But you get into them and you realize, just like you said, Alan, that you're making diddly squat of a ton of work and a lot of people's efforts. And so is it really, if you're doing it for a fundraiser, that's got to be your biggest evaluation point.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how many of our traditions actually revolve around those kinds of things, mm-hmm. either a fundraiser or someone's sentiment, and it's really oftentimes around those two things. And so there's always that tension that we have. Do you embrace it or do you mm-hmm. reject it, and how do you do away with it if you want to do away with a certain tradition? And those can make and break a lot of pastors and a lot of ministries.
Yeah, so we want to talk you through some things to, you know, how to evaluate them. And so the first thing is it biblical or theological? Is it something that with those that it's important for your church, biblically or theologically, there's a tradition there. And so, Alan, you know, we've had different things that are related to those.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about a church that I know of where they had a tradition that anytime they had a very transient community, and anytime someone left their church, they would actually bring them up in front of the church, pray for them, and actually send them out from their church to their new community. And I thought, man, what a great tradition. I mean, that is a wonderful tradition. And that is something that they can celebrate and embrace, recognizing that we are a family and we're sending out one of our own. And that's certainly, when you look at that, is that a biblical idea, sending people out? Absolutely. Does it go against theology? Not in the least. But, you know, there are certainly other traditions that we can look at and we can kind of, you know, wrestle with. You know, I know a lot of churches wrestle with, like, for instance, maybe a Super Bowl tradition. And you can wrestle with those all day, because they're not really biblical or theological. It's just a practical or fun tradition that you may have.
Right. And I know that we had to evaluate that, because we had done the Super Bowl thing, and that was a big deal in fellowship. But it got to the point where we were like, we couldn't show much of the game because of the commercials. And, you know, we didn't want to promote those things to our children and youth that were most of the commercials in the Super Bowl. So we eventually just had to stop it. So,
yeah, you know, what we did is we stopped doing anything with the game, recognizing that most people weren't going to come to church to watch it anyway. You know, we created a tradition of a Super Bowl Sunday, which is kind of a missions day in our church. And so we would have a breakfast and bring everyone in. Of course, this year we had our kitchen fire on that day when we did that. That's a tradition we don't want to keep going.
No, don't start.
but you know, for many years, we kept trying to do something with the staff where there was some staff contest. And every year it was hard to top that contest. And a couple of years ago, we finally just stopped the contest part and said, you know, we're just going to invite for the donations for the breakfast and stop with the contest, because it was starting to get ridiculous.
Right. Well, and we changed it one year to Super Bowl, like chili bowls. We had a soup, a cook-off, chili cook-off and stew cook-off, and everybody, you know, brought their different meals, and people bought or chipped in for missions, you know, on those different things. And that was their vote for who would win. And so we changed it from the game to something else about missions. And that was a great deal.
Right. Right. Those things can be very advantageous to do that. But you really do have to ask yourself, is this biblical or theological? And I would venture that most of our traditions really aren't biblical or theological. And so you're going to probably recognize that a lot of them are, well, they're either good or bad traditions, right? And so you're going to have to figure out what you do with them there. So the next question then would be, does it adhere to your church's mission? You know, your church's mission is really what's important.
Right. Does it further the mission of your church? Does it help you accomplish the mission of your church? Or is it something now, maybe there was a tradition that was started a long time ago, like our church has been in existence for 85 years now. And so there may have been something that started, you know, in the first 20 years of the church, maybe, but there's nobody around that was part of that now. And so, and sometimes the mission statement of our church has changed into where that's not even, you know, part of who we are anymore.
Right, right. So you've got to think, does it further our mission? And again, I go back to our Valentine banquet when we decided we weren't going to do that anymore. It had nothing to do with our mission, really. You know, I mean, there are other ways to connect people. I mean, connecting people is certainly a part of who we are. Fellowship is a part of who we are. But there's a lot of ways to do that.
That's right. So the next thing is, do people know the story behind the tradition? And I think this is a big deal, because sometimes if people know the reason why it was started, or the story of how, you know, a pastor or a group did this in the past, they're more prone to keep it up and want to continue it because it's part of their church and part of who they are. But if we don't ever communicate that story or communicate what this began as, then the people that are now a part of our church, they don't have any connection to that.
Yeah, if you want to really get the story behind your tradition, why do we do this? You know, ask people who are most involved with it, why do you do it? You know, we're coming into the Christmas season, and when you and I were in college, so many churches had their living Christmas tree, you know, and people on those things. And a lot of people don't know why their church did that. And, you know, there are churches today who still do that, and some of them know the story, some of them don't know the story. And I would venture the ones who know the story and the why that they do it, there's probably a whole lot more passion and excitement about doing it, and those who don't know why couldn't care less.
Right. And this year, you know, speaking about the Living Christmas Tree, Dana and I were part of that at our church when we were in seminary. Loved that at Southcliff. But this year, you can't do that because of COVID and everything. You can't be that close. And so I think this year, a lot of traditions are either going to be scrapped or certainly evaluated in a more rigid sense to figure out, hey, is this something we can continue?
Yeah, and I think that's why this is a timely discussion, because this is a great time to evaluate those traditions and look at those, because you've got kind of an ace in the hole if you have some that you do need to move away from. You've got a way of doing that right now. And so it's important to think about these things, especially this time of year when you're kind of not only thinking about the end of the year, but you're thinking about what 2021 is going to look like. So I think that that's really important. So we know that anytime you want to get rid of a tradition, that would become a source of conflict. You can really make someone mad. You know, it's nothing different. We're getting rid of pews and we're going to put chairs in. What? My grandfather sat on this pew. I sat on this pew. And mm-hmm. No one's taken this pew from me. So, you know, we know that it's going to be conflict. Why is that?
Well, there's connection with people. And sometimes we avoid removing a tradition just because we know who is going to throw a fit about. Again, this year, if any year you wanted to make a change, this year everybody's used to change, and so it's an easier time probably than most. But the old joke among pastors is our church is only a few funerals away from some great changes. and so unfortunately that can be the case, but it's about connections, and some people know the story again and others don't.
Right. And we need to make sure that we're aware of that, because that is an emotional connection. For those who know the story or those who are invested in that story, it is truly an emotional connection. You know, my daughter, she doesn't like the Christmas, me reading the Christmas story because it's my great voice or anything like that. She loves it because it's her dad, right? Right. Other people don't have that same connection, but that's her connection, and that's an emotional connection for her, and that's okay. I'm glad my daughter wants to be connected to her dad, but I also have to recognize that what is good for her might not necessarily be good for, you know, her small group at meeting at her house on Christmas Eve or something.
That's true. Yeah, and that's true. You have to kind of look at that in your church. You know, just because somebody has read the Christmas story or done something for years, don't automatically keep somebody else from being a part of it. Right now we're doing Advent in our church, and I'm trying to involve some new families, you know, in as part of that reading and lighting the candles and all that stuff. And so, you know, yeah, there's maybe some people who have a connection or an attachment, but sometimes it's a great time to have a teachable moment for those families who have done it in the past and just talk to them about, hey, we want the people that are coming now to have that same connection that you got to have too.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because here's what happens. Those who have and know that they have an attachment, it's a strong attachment. Mm-hmm. Those who are unattached, are extremely unattached. When it comes to traditions, there's not a middle ground. You have really extreme emotions on each side of that, you know, of disinterest and passion. And it's our job as a leader to put those things together.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's a balancing act, right? You want to encourage people that are part of your church. And you know, I'm thinking about the senior citizens in my church. They're so awesome. They're so giving. And we want to continue to minister to them. But we also have young families that need to be ministered to, especially during the holiday season. And they've got little kids that this probably means more to those little kids or parents taking pictures of their little kids than maybe some of the senior citizens. And so, again, it's a teachable moment for on both sides. And so a leader has to balance those. And, you know, I think reminding them, hey, this is about our outreach and our mission to someone else more than it is about us.
Right. I would say that's the first place you begin, is to reemphasize your mission. If you recognize that you need to move away from a tradition or you need to embrace that tradition, either side of that, tie it to the mission of your church. And if you don't start there, you've really already missed the groundwork that you've got to lay before a decision like that's made.
That's true, Alan. And so as you're thinking about, you know, is there something that a tradition that you've had in your church that you may want to not have anymore. Instead of just saying, hey, we're getting rid of this, you could, I think it makes it easier, is to say, hey, instead of this, we're going to put in this new deal. And so people have something else to look forward instead of just focusing on the loss of something they had previous.
Right. So if you emphasize the mission, and let's say you're going to take a tradition away, you better replace it with something else, or there's a kind of a vacuum, a void in people's lives. And that's what I'm hearing you say. And I think you're dead on with that. People need something to connect to.
Right. Because I think most people, they're always asking themselves, okay, so first of all, our pastor's telling us that we need to be reaching out to people. And so I need a tool to do that. And that's what Ephesians 4 says, that we're supposed to equip the believers for works of service. So we're giving them a tool. So we don't want to take away a tool and not fill it, give a new tool in their toolbox. And then as we give them a tool, we also want to give them the words to go with that. And a story communicates that. So a new tradition needs that new story.
Yeah, story is a powerful, powerful thing. And if we don't know the why, if we don't know the story behind what we're doing, we're going to miss it. I think one of the things my church would like to start is a new tradition of we have an outdoor pavilion, a covered area outside. And this summer, of course, when we were able to get back together, we could do a lot more outside than we could do inside. And so we were meeting outside in our open air pavilion. And I think people really like that. We have that space, and why don't we use it more often? And so I think there's a budding tradition that maybe we take a certain month of the year and we move our services outdoors for that month. And I think, you know, COVID, well, there's a story right there, right? We had to do this. We found out we love this. This is something that people driving by can see us out worshiping. And so, you know, there's a tradition and there's a story right there.
Right. And it helps the mission of your church, because people are seeing you gathered, you know, and seeing that, hey, this is a, you know, group of people. They don't look weird. They don't have a third eye or something like you know. And so I could be with these people.
Yeah, I think that's what we just want to do. You want to tie it to your story. And a story is so powerful in people's minds. They will remember the story longer than they'll remember the tradition. And that's why traditions last. That's why traditions move along, is because there's a story attached to them. And so, you know, for years, when people thought about the reindeer, you know, there was a certain number of reindeer. But do you recall? There's another one, right?
Yeah, and so the now most famous.
You don't think of reindeer without there being a little red-nosed little one.
That's right.
Know, out front, because there's a powerful story associated mm-hmm. with that. And, you know, we can take children's stories and things like that and remember that there's something powerful that invokes in us, and we remember those things.
Yeah, all those things that we take for granted now really didn't start until the 1950s. And as far as Christmas stories and all the Santa and the reindeer and all that stuff, it started with some shows that came out. And so that's, we need to keep in mind that the traditions that we start now, they'll come to an end as well in the future. But again, it's all about, just like Alan said, is communicating that story along the way. Every year you have to re-communicate the story when you do that event. Tell them why. How did this start? Why do we do that? That's our church. We participate in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so we have to go through and we tell the story of who Lottie Moon was and what she did and why we believe this is a great time to give to support missions around the world. And so you got to keep that story in there.
Yeah, I always tell the church too, our tradition with that is that we treat Lottie like she's a family member. And so there's always mm-hmm. a family gift that goes to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And that's kind of
great.
Our tradition. And so it is important to think about these things and communicate these things, because traditions are a powerful source, and they sometimes can be a source for bad, but they oftentimes too can be a source for good. So just always be in the process of evaluating those traditions. I think of it like this, you know, both my daughters are married. I know you've got a son who's married, and they didn't embrace every single tradition you gave them when they were growing up with you, because they married someone who had their own set of traditions. And just like we told our kids, and like you told, mm-hmm. have told yours, when you're married, you form your own traditions, and they've got to be your traditions. The same's true in your church. And mm-hmm. over the course of time, your church changes, leadership changes, and sometimes you need to change those traditions.
Yeah, that's right. There's new people that are marrying into your church body, right? And they may bring in some great ideas. And they may need to be taught about the traditions that you've had in the past. So you've got to keep doing that. Have an open mind, too, to new things. And just like Alan said, sometimes traditions can be a pain or even not worth it anymore. Like Alan said before about doing that Valentine banquet that makes $100, you know. But sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes it's just about, hey, you know, we've done this and we want to tell the story why, and we're going to continue it. And that's okay too.
Yes. Yes. We're not here to tell you which traditions you should have. You know, of course, the best traditions and the one that we want to always have is that we're reaching people for Christ. And that's why, absolutely. That's why we're churches, and that's why we do this. And we don't ever want to lose sight of that. Well, Trent, I hope anyone who watches this on our YouTube channel, I hope that, one, they'll subscribe, and secondly, that our appearances have not scared them off. And if you're listening, you can go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to that. So subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Enduring Churches, and wow, it's a new day.
That's right. Well, and hey, let me say to you and everybody who hopefully is watching or listening, Merry Christmas from Alan and I. We appreciate you so much. We hope for the best for you in the coming year, and that God will bless you big time.
Well, thanks again for joining us, and we are here to come alongside you and help your church in any way we can, to help you in any way we can. We are passionate about helping churches last. So anyway, thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to catching you on our next episode.